Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this is...
My Favorite Things.
Ooh, Favorite Things.
And I just want to say, I just want to thank everybody for listening to us out there. Sometimes we're like, is anybody there? Is anybody listening? And it's just, I know there are, and I just want to thank you for listening right now.
That's so sweet. Yeah, yes, I'd like to thank you too.
Yeah, well, thank you, Rob, for listening to me.
Well, thank you for listening to me.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Yeah, wow, that's so sweet. Yeah, thank you, everybody. We're so thankful for you.
Why not?
Thanksgiving is coming up in about a week or so. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's so sweet.
Just a little moment there. I'm a little cheesy sometimes, but sometimes. But yeah. So
thanks for the memories.
You holding your microphone like that, it's really perfect, Rob.
I was going to sing a little Bob Hope.
Oh, that's nice.
Speaking of Turkey Day, where are you going for Turkey Day?
Oh, yes. We're going to go out to Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia, a little town called Lansdale. My mom's side of the family lives out there. I was actually born in Allentown. My mom was born in Philadelphia. And then we still have family that's right in that pocket there between those two towns.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. So a lot of the family comes from Alaska. My mom and dad come from South Carolina. We all kind of congregate.
Are you going to do any cooking?
I will not be, but I'll be doing a lot of eating.
Ooh.
Yes.
You don't cook? You don't make a dish or anything?
No. No, I can tell you honestly, Sutton might, but very traditional in my family. But I think there will be lots of food and it will be made, but not everyone brings the food. But we just, I guess we do. You've stumped me, Rob.
So you come in empty handed.
No,
is what you're saying.
A handful of love.
Yeah, get the fuck out. Nobody wants it. Can't eat love. Bring me stuffing. Bring me mac and cheese. Bring me turkey.
There's so much food. There will be so much food there.
Ooh, that sounds so much fun.
Yeah, it is nice. And it's very traditional, you know, like mashed potatoes, the turkey, all of it, the works.
Do you all go around the table and say what you're thankful for?
No, we do not.
Oh, okay.
We should.
Next week, I'm going to ask
you. There'll be like 30 of us.
Week, I'm going to ask you, what are you thankful for our Thanksgiving episode?
All right.
So we'll do it at least for ourselves.
Okay, okay.
If nothing else.
All right.
Nothing else.
I'm going
to Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Are you?
Yes. Home of Oscar Hammerstein.
So near each other.
We are. How far away are we from each other?
I bet you it's 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
We should meet up.
Why Bucks County?
My uncle lives in Bucks County.
Oh, nice.
And I love Bucks County. Daniel and I love going to Bucks County. Filled with antique shops.
Yeah.
Filled with the Bucks County Playhouse.
Which has gotten really nice.
Which
lately.
Has gotten like really,
I know.
Really good. So many good shows happening.
I know.
There.
Great directors and actors and everything. Will your parents come as well, or is it
just the East Coast side of my family, because all my family's in Los Angeles, so they don't schlep out for Thanksgiving.
That makes sense.
But I'll, you know, send them a piece of turkey via the post.
I love Thanksgiving. I love everyone being together, and it's just, I love that. It's an eating.
Is it your favorite holiday?
I would say it's one of my favorite holidays, yeah.
What is the favorite one, Flag Day?
I don't know if I really have a favorite holiday. I never really thought of a holiday being my favorite.
Mm. Christmas?
No, I love Christmas.
Gotta go?
No, I'd say Thanksgiving is probably
Thanksgiving,
up there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say
I'm going to go with you on that, too.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love some turkey and stuffing?
Eating and family and just, yeah.
All well, now I'm good. Hungry.
I know.
Oh, shit. Okay. Now I got to get through it. Okay. So.
What we're all here thing. For. Let's
Our
get to
favorite
it.
Thing.
Why else
Who
are we here?
Who wants to go first?
I will.
Okay.
This is not a musical. It's not a cast recording. It's not a website. It is a documentary. It is, you can see it on for free on PBS.org.
Ooh.
I love that about PBS, that they almost everything that they've ever done, you can see it all on their website for practically, I think, free, most everything.
Yeah, they're really
And I
wonderful.
Love that you can just, and they do a lot of theater stuff.
They do a lot of theater
And one
stuff,
of the
yeah.
series that I particularly love is their American Masters series.
Oh, yes, yes.
And they did one on the great, great, late, great Marvin Hamlisch. And that's what my favorite thing is. It could just be Marvin Hamlisch, but this documentary is really what I want to sell.
I've seen this. It's so good. What's the title?
It's called What He Did for Love.
What He Did for Love.
Yeah, inside look at Marvin Hamlisch. This man, obviously he's special and he wrote so many things, but I guess I always knew that he was really magical, and I love his musicals. Of course, A Chorus Line, duh. But I mean, The Sweet Smell of Success, to me, is such... That was one of my favorite things a couple months ago, and it was just that score. It's like, what? This exists? Well, he was like that since he was a kid, and what a lot of people don't know is that he was this, like, child prodigy.
A brilliant kid.
So much so that it's like he couldn't contain all of that musical talent. I mean, he went to Juilliard when he was 5 or 6 for classical, but then the classical music was, like, too easy. So then he mastered jazz, and then that was, like, too easy, and then he did musical theater. You know, he won the Sting. He won that Academy Award, and he was, like, 29 or 30. Right? And then he gets a phone call to do some dance musical, and he shows up, and then he writes A Chorus Line, and he does that. And then, I mean, how do you top that? Well, that became one of the problems in his life, is that he did so well that you just can't, your trajectory just can't go up and up. Obviously, in this business, that's just not how it is.
No.
There's ups and downs, and not everything can be Hamilton, 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 or Chorus Line, Chorus Line, Chorus Line, or Sting, Sting, Sting. And so he struggled a little bit with that, and this documentary talks about that. What I like about it is that you're hearing a lot about Marvin Hamlisch from his family and friends that really knew him. You're seeing a lot of clips of him talking and from way like because he took a lot of videos in the 70s, and you see a lot of raw footage of him back then, or his experiences, or firsthand accounts of what it was like to work with him and stuff. And one of my really good friends, Marissa McGowan, she was a part of that the Nutty Professor series. She played the woman in that, and she worked with Hamlisch, and she would tell me that he truly was that open and loving and fun and just a genius of a human being.
That's so
And
cool.
What I like is that this documentary really takes you on that journey, and really it goes in depth of how he got to be the way he is, and why he was so special, and that he, man, I mean, how I just never knew that he was so brilliant. I knew that his music was smart, but I never knew that he, like, kind of mastered everything. All kinds of music, all kinds of, you know, everything you can think of, he has done it. And he's got not just the EGOT, the PGOT, Pulitzer on top of it.
Oh my
Pulitzer,
gosh.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. He's one of two people. Don't ask me who the other one is because I don't know.
But PGOT.
Yeah.
The other one, wouldn't that be Sondheim?
Is it?
Well, Sondheim won a Pulitzer.
And he's got the EGOT?
Yeah, he has
There you go. We
yeah,
should look
I think,
it up after this.
He,
but
he's got
yeah, I believe that.
I might be wrong, but I'm gonna guess him.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Okay,
pretending to listen to you. I'm kidding. It's really you can tell his love of music, his love of theater, and why he kept coming back to Broadway as well. Like over time, he would still try to master this art form that is so elusive sometimes, even to someone who has done as well as he has done. There's no formula for success. And so I like that you see that, you know, someone as brilliant as Mr. Hamlisch still had to fight to become, you know, to keep his art relevant and to make it popular, you know. Who was it?
Richard Rodgers.
Oh man, good one.
Richard Rodgers and Marvin Hamlisch.
Oh man, good company.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So sorry about that. Not Mr. Sondheim. Richard Rodgers and
love that. Yeah, so
was the documentary made when he was still alive?
I do not think so. Or at least it was probably being made because it came out December 27th, 2013.
Oh, I think he had passed at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think probably it was being made while he was still with us, perhaps.
Well,
And boy, that was a shocking. I mean, that was unexpected.
Suddenly, it was a sudden passing. And he was working on what, that Nutty Professor
musical?
Nutty
Professor that I was mentioning about, which they're still, his wife's helping, I think, bring that, you know, and I heard that it was really good.
Yeah, I hear it's in really good shape.
So I just wish that we had more, I wish we had more of his music. I wish he wrote more musicals, I guess, sometimes.
Me too.
You know, yeah, what a special, special man, and the influence he had on our business and our art is, I mean, timeless.
And let's be happy for what he did give us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Truly. Truly. Yeah, so Marvin Hamlisch, check out that American Masters thing. You can go to pbs.org, or I'm sure it's on YouTube, but it's called What He Did for Love, Marvin Hamlisch.
Mm.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What a
brilliant
guy. What you got? What do you got today?
Mine is a musical.
Yeah.
An actual show, which I feel like I don't do so often.
No, you don't as much.
It's always a book or a YouTube clip, so yeah. I'm actually doing a show. I think when we first started doing our favorite things, one of the things we decided was we weren't going to really do things like big shows. Like, we weren't going to talk about Oklahoma or My Fair Lady.
Right. So more obscure stuff.
And this show, I think it's obscure. I think it's obscure.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw it in that category. Some people might disagree with me, but here we go. 1962.
Nice.
Music by Cy Coleman, lyrics by Carolyn Lee. Mm. And what makes the musical incredible, book by Neil Simon.
Is this Wildcat?
It is not Wildcat. No.
Oh, it's Little Me.
It's Little Me.
It's Little Me, of course, duh, Kevin.
Little Me has the funniest book of a musical you will ever find. This is Neil Simon at his absolute best. Every other line is a guaranteed laugh line. I saw it at Encores. They just did it in 2014 with Christian Borle. I'll explain the plot in a second. The songs got lots of applause. I've never seen a musical before where the lines get just as much applause as the songs do. So I am encouraging you not just to listen to Little Me, find the libretto, read the libretto as well, because the book is hysterical. So for those of you that don't know, Little Me is a musical from 1962. We're in the golden age of the American musical. And it's based on Patrick Dennis's novel. Patrick Dennis, best known to us as...
Auntie Mame.
The original author of Auntie Mame, and he's a character in Auntie Mame, right? And he wrote a book that was supposed to be a parody of tell-all celebrity novels.
A parody of it.
And so he created a fictional actress and created a fictional autobiography for her called Little Me, The Intimate Memoirs of the Great Star of Stage, Screen, and Television, Belle Poitrine.
That's funny.
You speak French, Belle Poitrine literally translates to beautiful chest.
Oh, my God.
Because she was very...
Buxom.
She was endowed. The book gets published in 61. Neil Simon thinks it's going to be a great idea, so they make a musical of it next year. And the basic plot of the story is this young girl who's from the other side of the tracks. You might remember this great song.
On the other side of the tracks. Dun,
dun, dun, dun, and she's determined that she's not going to let anything let her down, even though that she's poor. And so she just goes through a series of romances with men, eventually climbing up working her way up to the social economic ladder. The musical does something really unique. They come up with the idea of, if Belle is going to go through 7 or 8 men, what if they were all played by the same actor?
Oh.
So the actor is always going to be the same no matter who her love interest is. And for this, they got Neil Simon's old boss from your show of shows, Sid Caesar. And Sid Caesar, who was best known for one, being one of the funniest men ever, was able to do foreign pigeon talk, as they used to call it. So he would act like he was speaking Spanish. He would just be making it up on the spot. He would act like he was speaking German, and he would make it up on the spot. But it sounded genuinely authentic. And so that's how he approached each of the 7 characters in Belle's life. He played a teenager. He played a nearsighted soldier. He played a French Maurice Chevalier character. And so throughout the whole show, he's playing all the different boyfriends. The score is amazing. I mean, we've got On the Other Side of the Tracks, we have Little Me, we have Real Live Girl, we have I've Got Your Number. Uh-huh. This is, Cy Coleman, Carolyn Lee at their best. And not only is it these three individuals, including Neil Simon, choreographer is Bob Fosse.
Wow.
Bob Fosse.
Yeah.
So this is the group. It's been revived a couple of times, never successfully, unfortunately. The first one is a revival that nobody remembers, which is in 1982. They got Victor Garber.
What?
And James Coco. And instead of having one guy play all 7 roles, they had 2 guys play all the roles. Huh. So it's James Coco and Victor Garber. Didn't do so well. Then in the 90s, this is the one that everyone remembers, and it won Martin Short a Tony Award. They had Martin Short.
Oh, he won. Wow.
Yeah, it was Martin Short and Faith Prince.
Ah, yes, of course.
And also, what normally happens in Little Me is it's usually an older actress who plays Belle in her 60s looking back on her life, and then a younger actress playing Belle. And in this one, they decided that there would be one actress as well, and that was Faith Prince.
Wow.
So it was Martin Short, Faith Prince. Also, didn't do very well, that revival. And then they just did an encore with the incredible Christian Borle in all of those roles, and Rachel York and Judy Kay
the Belle duties. I think Christian Borle I bet you he really nailed that comedy.
Oh,
he
was so funny.
He's so original and creative. And
he was great.
That's fun.
He was so, so funny. And, unfortunately, the show didn't actually have an easy road. There's some very notorious, famous stories about how bad things were amongst the creatives. The first one is they wrote a song for the show called The Girls of 17, where all the soldiers sang about the girls back home, and they cut the number. And Carolyn Lee, the lyricist, was like, "You can't cut my number." And they said, "Well, we've agreed we're going to get rid of it.
It's gone."
She goes, "That's against Dramatists Guild policy. You just can't cut my number. That's illegal. Whoa. That's illegal. That's illegal."
Whoa, Carolyn.
And they were like, "You need to calm down." So she literally went off into the street, grabbed a cop, brought the cop to Neil Simon and Bob Fosse and said, "Arrest them." She goes, "Arrest all of them. They cut my number. It's illegal. Arrest them." This was in the middle of a performance, by the way.
My jaw's on the floor.
So you have to imagine just sitting there and you're watching. "Arrest them. Arrest them. Arrest them." Sid Caesar didn't take notes. They came to him in his hotel room or his dressing room one night after a performance, and they said, "Everything was good except this one scene. You need to pick up the pace." And he goes, "Oh, you want me to go faster?" And they're like, "Yeah, can you go faster?" He goes, "Yeah, how fast do you want me to go? So fast they can't understand what I'm saying? Is that how fast? How about this fast?
Okay.
And he took the sink from the bathroom and ripped it out of the wall and threw it out the window. And he said, "You want me to go that fast?" So that's what you're dealing with there. But the funniest story, my favorite one, is it's opening night. They got a theater party to come see Little Me. There were a lot of people at the theater party who were very drunk.
A theater party?
Theater party. So theater parties used to be like you would be part of a club.
Yeah.
And you would get a discounted rate on the tickets. But you and 90 other people would all go out to dinner beforehand as a group. And then you would all go see the show as a group. So that you were part of a theater party.
Oh, that's cool. A little club.
And so they all got drunk. the theater party, mm-hmm. wandered in late to opening night.
Oh,
Bob Fosse, Neil Simon, Cy Coleman, they're all standing in the back. And this drunk man stumbles up the aisle in the middle of the first act, mm-mm. and he waddles his way to the back, and he grabs Bob Fosse by the collar and goes, "Do you have anything to do with this show?"
Oh,
Bob
no.
Fosse says, "Yes, I do." And he goes, "This is the worst thing I've seen since My Fair Lady," and stormed out and left.
It's My Fair Lady.
Yeah, this is the worst thing I've seen since My Fair Lady.
Oh, man.
But it's, like I said before, it's an amazing show. The best thing about it, I think, I mean, the score is, yes, God, yes, that score. That book, though, opening of Act 2, it took 10 minutes until they started to play any music.
Wow.
Because it was just scene, 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 funny, funny, funny. So please, if you're going to listen to it, yes, listen to it. But also, please read the script, because the script is hysterical.
Yeah, I will.
Little Me.
Little Me, definitely. Wow, good one.
And if you're looking for a show to do and you got a crazy comedian.
There it is.
This is it.
I don't think it gets done very often, I feel like.
It doesn't, and I don't understand why. I think it's so funny, and I think people would love, love, love to see it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there was a hope at some point that the Encores one would have been transferred, but that didn't happen. So Little Me for me.
And the American Masters, Marvin Hamlisch.
All right. So have a safe travels to your Thanksgiving.
That's right.
And the next time we'll talk to you is on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.